Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody. This is Ron Fitch, and this is the Coast to Coast Radio Show. And today we're going to talk about the NFL and what happened and how it happened. I first want to talk about the Carolina Panthers playing the Atlanta Falcons. And this was really not back-to-back, but kind of a back-to-back, where they played Atlanta. They beat Atlanta, and they talked a lot of stuff to Atlanta, and they beat them maybe a week, 2 weeks ago. And they had to go to Atlanta. And in my mind, I said, this could be a tricky game. You know, you had an emotional win over the Giants, and you're playing the Atlanta Falcons at their place. They're going to be fired up, and it went the way I thought it would. I didn't know Atlanta would win, but Carolina got to a good start, 7-0. Cam Newton scores. Then Freeman scores to tie the score. Atlanta takes 14-10 lead on Julio Jones' 70-yard pass, and you could tell he really enjoyed that. Carolina's got to realize something. They're the hunted now. When they came out with the bats and all that stuff, they're the hunted. So they're getting everybody's best. And it's 20-13 in the fourth quarter, and Carolina could not score. And Atlanta wins the game. I was very, very, very impressed with how hard the Falcons are now playing. It's probably too late. But they did what they had to do. And I'm going to tell you something about the Carolina Panthers. I think a piece of their collective swagger was left in New York with all the bats and all the incident and sighting and all the slurs and all everything they did. I think now they're going to get everybody's top game. And I don't know about Carolina. I think they're going to win the last game and get home field, but I think they're beatable. I'm not a fan of taunting, regular season taunting and bringing bats and stuff. It's a sign that it's a franchise that doesn't know how to win. It's a franchise not used to winning. They're winning, but it's so overwhelming they can't handle it. And Carolina's going to have to learn how to handle it with a certain level of focus and class. And they just don't have that yet. I don't mind Cam dancing or whatever, but the Norman constantly taunting and their secondary. I know they eliminated the bats, but they just last week was over the top, and they didn't get enough criticism because of how Odell Beckham acted. But the teams are disliking the Panthers, so you're going to get your best effort, their very best effort in the playoffs, and they could win because you know Cam is having the MVP season. He should get the MVP. You know they're going to run the ball better. You know, they're going to play pretty good defense, but, you know, there's teams out there that could lay a licking on them, and one of those teams is the Arizona Cardinals. And, my gosh, the Arizona Cardinals laid a licking on the Green Bay Packers yesterday. My gosh. 38-8. And I'm watching the game, and Rodgers didn't have no time. I know they have a makeshift offensive line, but that defensive line of the Cardinals got after Aaron Rodgers. They were really hawking him. And it was back and forth. Both teams moved the ball, but they were turning Green Bay over at an alarming rate. And that's where the turnovers for touchdowns hurt them. They had two of them. And it was just, well, they had four turnovers overall. And they lost three fumbles and had an interception. And there's just two defensive touchdowns they scored. And they really laid the licking. And Malcolm Floyd went off. He went, you know, they didn't even need Fitzgerald yesterday. And they ran it pretty good. You know, they have the Johnsons run the ball well. They're humming right now. They look like the best team in the NFC. I don't think that even bothers them that they have to go to Carolina if they have to. They're locked in right now. You don't want to play them if you're an NFC team. And have fun going to Arizona playing them. The way that, and Green Bay had fans. Well, I had a lot of fans there, but the Arizona fans were louder. And it was a fun game to watch for a while, and then it just got out of hand. And they kept their foot on the necks of Green Bay. And I love the killer instinct they showed. That was 21 points in the third quarter, dusted off the Packers. And Aaron Rodgers didn't have a prayer. He was getting hit. They were laid a licking. They were physical. They didn't have the honey badger. I don't know if that's going to affect them. He's one of their best defensive players in the secondary. You got to have a secondary or you won't go anywhere. And that's why Pittsburgh will probably be fishing and home for the playoffs because they don't have a secondary. You got the best teams in the league that are contending for a Super Bowl have secondaries. Denver, Carolina, with Norman and those guys. And then Patrick Peterson and the Cardinals. And Seattle with their Legion of Boom. Look at the teams that really are really serious and their management is serious about winning. And I'll show you a good secondary. Teams that don't win, I'll show you a bad secondary. The Giants underachieved. Their secondary should be better, but they play lousy. And the teams that play good have a good secondary. And the Redskins are playing good with their secondary, and they're in the playoffs. The Redskins, congratulations to the Redskins. I was hard on Kirk Cousins. I was hard on Gruden. I didn't understand that situation. I said, fire Gruden. But they beat the Eagles 38-24. They dominated the Eagles. The Eagles kind of quit, too. I didn't like that. And they dominated the Eagles 38-24. I think the best move for the Eagles is to get RG3. I think that's a perfect fit for Chip Kelly. I give Chip Kelly another year to see what he can do. But he's got to go get some grown men on defense. They were just cowardly the way they played against his kids. Kirk Cousins was outstanding. He's been outstanding all year. I mean, he's really developed into a pretty good quarterback. I'm not saying great or anything, but he's developed. And you know, he gets a little excited with the, you know, can you – what is this phrase? You like that? You're like, okay, that's nice. But now you got to go to the playoffs. And they play very good at home. So they're going to be a tough out that first week at home to whoever it plays. It could be the Packers because Minnesota won big yesterday. Well, Giants, and, you know, they're ready to go home. They blew the Giants out. And Minnesota is serious about contending. They play Green Bay, and normally I say, oh, well, Green Bay's going to win. I don't think that's going to be a good game. You know, that's okay. But I really think the Minnesota Vikings have a chance. Bridgewater's playing better. Bridgewater didn't play good that first time, but he's developing as a young quarterback. You know, Peterson's not of this earth. He is like a cyborg. He doesn't even age. He's fantastic. I saw the 48-yard run yesterday against the Giants. He's just amazing. So you have that. You have the Packers and the Vikings playing Sunday night. Vikings have a chance to win the division. And they get a home game. That's good. I'm glad to see the Vikings come up and develop. And Green Bay's lucky. If it wasn't for that Hail Mary, they'd still be losing games. There's something wrong. Guys are dropping passes. I can see Aaron Rodgers getting frustrated. They're very vulnerable. I just think they're gonna go out in the first round. They just look like a first-round casualty to me with the injuries. And their defense comes and goes. Clay Matthews will make a play, then he won't make a play. He was great, but now he's not. Doesn't have the impact he used to. You know, you get old. It happens. You know, so I was impressed with that. Now I go to the AFC and the Jets and the Patriots, and this I felt like the Jets were going to win this. Because Marshall and Fitzpatrick, they really want to go to the playoffs. And they're hungry, and they look like they're deserving because they have a good secondary, they play good defense, they get stops when they have to. Their front office just put in the work. I love front offices. Front offices win Super Bowls. General managers win Super Bowls. The ones that are asleep or the ones that are satisfied are always the ones that are home for the playoffs. And their fan base is furious with them. You know, and I just think that, you know, I don't know. I just think that the Jets deserve to get in. You know, they got Buffalo and Rex. They should win. You know, they should go to Buffalo and win because they got momentum. It seemed like everything broke their way with the way they won against. It usually doesn't break their way. It breaks their way now. They won a game they shouldn't have against Dallas. They won a game they shouldn't have against the Giants. They dominated the Patriots yesterday. They were up 20-13. It should have been more. They kind of got sloppy. Sometimes they do get sloppy, but they haven't paid for it yet. Now, they're going to have to tighten up when they get to the playoffs. Like, if you have to go to Denver or Cincinnati, or maybe even Houston, you're going to have to play better than what you did. I think offensively, defensively, they're playing good, but there's little breakdowns here and there that they have to kind of clean up when they get to the playoffs. But they beat New England 26-20 in overtime. One of the New England players got that coin toss right, but for whatever reason, the referee said, "You want a kick? You want a kick? You want a kick, don't you? Oh, come on. Tell me you want a kick." And the guy said, "Yeah, I want a kick." "Okay. No, I won't want a kick." "Oh, yeah, you said you wanted to kick the ball off." So they kicked the ball off because you knew the Jets were going down the field and scored a touchdown. The New England with the injuries, the defense, I'm looking like their defense looks pretty good, and I'm like, the secondary isn't as good. And Ryan Fitzpatrick lit them up. I mean, 26-41, 296, 3 touchdowns. He lit the Patriots up. And their so-called shutdown corner got lit up. So that shutdown corner word is being used. Bolden, he made an interception with Super Bowl that should have never even been a play developed there. That should have been Marshawn Lynch running, but that's for another day. But the Jets are in good shape to go 11-5 and get that last playoff spot. Which leads because Pittsburgh lost 20-17 to Baltimore, and it was overconfidence because on the first drive, on 4th-and-1 kick field goal, you're not built to run and pound it inside 4 yards, but you do it anyway, and being stubborn is probably why you're going to be home. Either the trick plays or going for it or going for two. They're too reckless. And their secondary is horrific. And you got to have a secondary. And the general manager did not put in the work. Kevin Colbert didn't put in the work to go keep this like a Keenan Lewis or the key players he was supposed to keep in that secondary. Bryce McCain was one of their best guys. They let him go. The fan base is going to put a lot of pressure on this team when the season's over. There's going to be a lot of pressure on the general manager first, then the coach, then the owner. And they're going to be like the cheap route, getting 6th- and 7th-round quarterbacks, plugging them in the starting lineup, and having a team average 30 points a game, lose, and go home in the playoffs is no longer going to be acceptable. The fan base is getting more frustrated. And I can read the comments. They're getting sick and tired. And the New York Giants for they're kind of similar. The Giants fan base get frustrated watching these Hall of Fame quarterbacks waste away their years. And you want to wait till they get old to develop a defense, then it's too late. And you throw away years. I remember watching Tim Brown on Oakland and how many years that franchise wasted his talent. He went to the Hall of Fame and he goes to the Super Bowl when he's old. And you don't want to do that. But, you know, it depends on how bad do you want it. This the Jet front office, we want to get Blake Revis or Cromartie back. We want this. You know, the Patriots, last year they went for it by signing Bolden and Revis in their secondary. They didn't like the secondary. So they went for it. They said, "We're going to do this for a year." You may have to have a one-year rental. I mean, how bad do you want to win? And the Bengals did what they had to do. The Bengals are going to win the division. They play Denver tonight. This is basically for the 2 seed and a first round bye. I believe Denver is going to win. I think Denver, regardless of Peyton Manning and Osweiler, they're set up to make a Super Bowl run. I think New England's in a little bit of trouble. I don't trust the Bengals. I'm not. The Jets could get to the AFC Championship. I'm not sure they could walk into Denver and win with that, with Denver's defense. They would have to tighten up a couple of things too. They're getting away with winning certain games, and you're not going to be able to do that in Mile High Stadium or whatever stadium it's called, and continue to do what you have to do. But I like Denver, and I like Cardinals so far. Even though Seattle lost yesterday, I'm not sleeping on Seahawks. They really didn't have nothing to play for. So that's different. But there lies your the NFL in a nutshell. Now, I'm working on doing a live show Thursday for the college football playoffs, which is stupid to have college football playoffs on January 31st instead of New Year's. The people who make decision makers in college football can be very, very incompetent. And this is a very incompetent move to have your best games on New Year's Eve, then the next day have bowl games. You have bowl games on New Year's Eve that are pretty good bowl games that sets up for the main course, which would be the semifinals, which mean everything in college football. That's stupid. I would love to talk to the executive. Oh, we might not change. You should change. It's stupid to have your top games New Year's Eve, and then the games that, I won't say they're meaningless, but they're just regular bowl games the next day. That's like eating the main course and then now give me the apple, now give me a salad after I eat. It's dumb. It's real stupid. I mean, I have to do what I have to do as a broadcaster, and I got to do a show on New Year's Eve, you know, promoting the game. I have no other choice, but hopefully I can talk to somebody that works for the NCAA to find out why. There lies the problem. You know, I have no other choice. So this is hopefully next year they'll change. Now, in the NBA, now I'm going to start to talk a little more about the NBA because it's taking a little bit of a form, more of a form. I watched the games Christmas. I watched Miami. They kind of struggled against New Orleans, and they won, but I'm concerned because they got to get some more outside shooting. I think I would trade Dame. I'll call New Orleans and go get Ryan Anderson. They need a Ryan Anderson, Kyle Korver type of player. If they get that, they got a chance. With their defense, they got a chance to get to the finals. I think Cleveland's a little vulnerable because I don't know about Kyrie Irving. I don't know about him this year. He doesn't look the same. Oh, he's rusty. How long do you use a rusty excuse? For a month, 2 months? Well, it's still a little rusty, okay. 3 months. It comes down to how Kyrie Irving plays. You know, LeBron can't carry an entire load. You know, he's getting older. He's going to have to give you his numbers, but it's not the same. I know it's not the same. I watched him, how he used to could guard ones and twos. Now he can't, and guys are getting around him. And, you know, he's older. It happens. And I watched Steph Curry. He got caught on a switch. Curry went around him so easy. He looked like a center trying to guard Curry. And Curry just went right around him for an easy layup. So they're going to need a healthy Kyrie to get back to the finals. I don't trust the Hawks. I don't care if they're the 2 seed. I never trust Atlanta teams. Hawks, Braves, Falcons, you name them. Georgia Tech, any team inside that area, no way. Toronto, I don't like that. They're too much of a one-on-one team. Boston is to play hard. They aren't the best talent in the world, but they play hard. The Pacers are solid. The Bulls, I don't know what the Bulls are yet. I'm going to wait. And then you have a lot of the other teams that are mixed together in the East. But in the West, to me, it's Golden State and the Spurs. And Golden State's got to keep winning and get that home game. You want game 7 in your building if you're playing San Antonio. Get to game 7 like the Clippers did. You don't want to mess around. You're probably going to have to win a game in San Antonio. San Antonio's not going to lose all games in Golden State. That ain't happening. I don't think the Thunder have enough. The Thunder have never recovered from giving away James Harden and keeping Ibaka. I gotta go get him.
an Ibaka type player off the streets. But I would have kept Harden. Harden was perfect for that chemistry. The way he could score and pass, it took a lot of pressure off Westbrook. It was a great mix. It was a big three. They could have won several championships together. And then if you lose guys, you could build around those three. But they didn't do it, and they're probably never going to win a title with that setup. So there you have it. Next week, I am going to, like I said, Wednesday, I'm trying to do a live broadcast. I'm trying to get P.J. Walker, who's a great quarterback for Temple University. And I'm looking forward to trying to get him on my show.